From the Ryman Auditorium in Nashville, Tennessee, the country music capital of the world, here's the 1,000th broadcast of the Grand Ole Opry, tonight featuring a star-studded cast as we turn back the pages of time to present a special broadcast honoring the stars, the performers, and the sponsor who have helped make the Grand Ole Opry an American institution and a part of the American way of life. Now here's the entire cast with the opening number. Today, laughter, songs, a wildly cheering crowd, bright lights, costumes, and all the tinsel and glitter of show business with stars whose names are as commonplace on the lips of the American public as the names of our national leaders. But in the beginning, back 33 years ago... Yes, 33 years ago, that was the sound of the Grand Ole Opry, a hoedown played by a lone country fiddler named Uncle Jimmy Thompson, and the lonely sound of a Cumberland River steamboat whistle, sounded by young publicity man turned radio announcer, George D. Hay. For 3.5 hours, Uncle Jimmy fiddled in the solemn old judge talk, and the earphone and crystal set audience loved it. When I quick respond to their wishes, WSM made the Grand Ole Opry a regular Saturday night affair and started scouring the area for talent. Soon, Nashville was swarming with performers and the Opry grew bigger and better. And one of those early performers who started so long ago is with us tonight. And his music is still as popular with the crowd as it ever was. Here he is, Phil Monroe and his Bluegrass Boy. Yeah. Bill, will you sing us one of those great songs you done on the Opry back in the early days? Well, here he is, neighbors, Bill Monroe and John Henry. John Henry told his captain, I want to go to bed. Hello. Thank you, Bill Monroe. Thanks so much. And, of course, Bill is still one of the Opry's regular stars. But now to step back in the past once more. A little over 19 years ago, a great corporation, a firm whose name and products are known far and wide, learned of the popularity of the Grand Ole Opry and of the loyalty and devotion of you, its listeners. It was then that they began their sponsorship of this very portion of the show, a sponsorship which has continued uninterrupted down to this very moment. To our sponsor, we owe a debt of gratitude we can never repay. And one of the stars who was with us on that very first sponsored broadcast is unable to be with us tonight because he's overseas entertaining members of our armed forces. But by special arrangement, we present his voice, Mr. Country Music himself, Roy Acuff.
Yes, and I feel quite honored to know that that program has still continued so many years on the Grand Ole Opry. And it's a pleasure to say hello to all of you wonderful people that have been listening to our program for so many years. I had the pleasure of being on the first broadcast something like 19 years ago. It seems like a long time, but I was one of the boys that was on it, and I feel real proud and honored to know that they have stayed on so many years and have been such faithful people that we here at the Grand Ole Opry, and I speak for them all, are very proud of our product, very proud of the product that they are advertising, and through that, we hope that we've been some benefit to all the people who are concerned with Prince Albert smoking tobacco. Thank you very, very kindly, and everyone has been wonderful to me, and keep listening to Grand Ole Opry for the greatest in country music. Goodbye, everyone.
Thank you so much, Roy. We just wish you could be with us tonight, but we do have one of Roy's co-stars on that first sponsored broadcast, and here he is, Pee-wee King. Pee-wee, how does it feel to be on that, on this 1,000th broadcast of the show?
Just great, Grant. But it also makes me feel a lot older than I like to admit.
Well, I don't suppose you happen to remember that first tune you played and sang on the show, Pee-wee.
No, but I'm ready to sing and play one that I'll bet all the folks do remember. It goes like this. Tommy Jackson, would you help out? The Bonaparte's Retreat. The stars high above, she was the sweetest girl I ever did see. So I held her in my arms and told her of her many charms. I kissed her while the fiddle played the Bonaparte's Retreat. All the world was bright as I held her on that night. Then I heard her say, darling, please don't go away. So I held her in my arms and told her of her many charms. I kissed her while the fiddles played the Bonaparte's Retreat. Hey, ho, ho. All the world was bright as I held her on that night. Then I heard her say, darling, please don't go away. So I held her in my arms and told her of her many charms. I kissed her while the fiddles played the Bonaparte's Retreat. Hey! Grant Turner, you got any idea how many times you've loaded that pipe of yours with good Prince Albert smoking tobacco and settled back for a quiet smoke?
Well, a lot more times than the Grand Ole Opry's been on the air for PA. You know something? Every time I've always got that cool, tasty, satisfying, comfortable smoke I was looking for. And every time that good PA has been as fresh and mild as a morning in spring.
I know what you mean, Grant. You just can't beat that good crimp cut Prince Albert for downright pleasant smoking.
And that good, rich tobacco taste is always there, Pee-wee.
That's because Prince Albert uses just the right blend of fine tobacco and then locks in that natural flavor with a special process.
Well, Macon men say the same thing about PA. With PA and an OCB paper, you've got the makings of a perfect smoke. One that rolls easy, smokes mild and mellow.
So, pipe smoker or Macon man, If it's a tasty, comfortable smoke you want, time after time, year after year, try Prince Albert, America's largest selling smoke and tobacco.
Another of the earliest groups on the Grand Ole Opry was an aggregation of young men who called themselves the Fruit Jar Drinkers. And here they are, along with the Opry Square Dancers with Bill Cheatham. Thank you, boys, and thank you, Square Dancers. Boy, doesn't that take you back, Pee-wee?
It sure does, Grant.
Say, I want to ask you something, though, Pee-wee. After you and Roy Cuff left this portion of the Opry, who took over?
Who else but the old redhead? The country gentleman himself, Mr. Red Foley. And take over is just what Red did. Those were the days.
Oh, Pee-wee, you give a listen to this and tell me what you think.
Yes, sir, those were the days, and what wonderful days they were. For Red Foley, at least, working with such wonderful people as Rod Brasfield, Cousin Minnie Pearl, and all the other Grand Ole Opry stars. They were the days of youth, the happy golden days, the days of tunes like Smoke on the Water, Old Shep, Peace in the Valley, and 100 songs that will live in my memory forever. Happy days, yes, sir, wonderful days, days that I'd give anything if only I could turn back the clock and relive them once more. Tonight, well, as you folks must know, tonight I can't be with you in person. But my heart is there with all of you as the show goes out from the stage of the old Ramen. There's very little I can say, but I am truly grateful to all of you. And most especially to the wonderful sponsor who has made this great show possible, and who made it possible for me to be a part of it. Now, for me, Red Foley, to each and every one of you, God bless you.
Thank you, Red Foley, one of the grand old Opry greats. But while you're talking about Opry greats, Grant, there's one name you can't leave out. Time after time, he tore this old place apart as he walked on this stage, dressed in his striped cowboy suit and his big hat, and sang that great, great song of his.
Hear that lonesome whippoorwill. He sounds too blue to fly. The midnight train is whining low. I'm so lonesome I could cry.
Yes, I've the immortal Hank Williams. He'll live in our hearts forever. But Pee-wee, there was another entertainer who worked the Grand Ole Opry for a couple of months when Red was seriously ill. An entertainer who has since gone on to make a great name for himself in the entertainment world. In case you don't know who I mean, listen.
Hello there, folks. This is Tennessee Ernie Ford. We're privileged to celebrate and congratulate WSM's Grand Ole Opry on its 1,000th broadcast. This is an all-time record. The oldest sponsored network program on the air today. The Grand Ole Opry.
Thank you, Ernie. Yes, sirree. Tennessee Ernie Ford, who so graciously sends his best to the Grand Ole Opry tonight. But speaking of the best, one of the best guitar players in the country has been a regular on the Opry for a number of years. Here he is to give us that old standard, Back Home Again in Indiana, Chet Atkins.
Well, thank you so much, Chet. Thanks a lot.
You know, that Chet plays a lot of guitar. I wished he was my guitar man. Hey, Grant, but getting back to the old days when I started on the Grand Ole Opry, I remember I had a girlfriend, and she was the best...
Yeah, the best comedian who ever walked out on the stage. Is that what you're going to say, Pee-wee?
That's right.
Well, she's still with us, and here she is, Cousin Minnie Pearl.
Here. Well, sir, Pee-wee.
You look good, Minnie.
Oh, bless
you
your heart.
You look like a lollipop.
Pee-wee, I have a confession to make to you.
What's that?
Well, you know, when I went to work with you on the road when we was all traveling together 18 years ago, I told you a fib about how old I was. I told you I was 18 so I could get to work with you.
I thought you were 18.
No, I told a fib. I was just 8.
Oh, Minnie.
Well, I was just big for my age.
Hey, Minnie, do you remember any of those big jokes? The first big joke you ever told on the Grand Ole Opry?
Well, the first one I ever told was one y'all all remember, I'm afraid. It's about the time, you know, I was taking my brother to town, and we never had rid a train before, and we went down to get on the train, and we didn't know which end to get on. Both of them had stopped. And we got on that old train, and we was just sitting there, me and brother both, just big as life and twice as natural, and a feller come down the isle, and he was hollering, apples, oranges, and nanners. And brother had never had a nanner before, and he's careless with his money. He'll spend a nickel just like that on the same place, think nothing of it. And he got that nanner, and he didn't know how to eat it, and this fella right across the isle got one, too, and brother just kept his eyes squared up on that feller, and that feller peeled down the nanner in his hand, brother peeled down the nanner in his hand. Fella took a bite out of the nanner in his hand, brother took a bite out of the nanner in his hand. Just brother took a bite out of the nanner in his hand, went through a tunnel, everything just black, couldn't see a thing. Come through on the other side, brother just sitting there holding that nanner, wasn't saying a word. I said, brother, ain't you gonna eat the rest of your nanner? He said, no, I ain't gonna eat no more. Took one bite, and went stone blind.
Do you still do your dance like you did 18
years
ago?
Well, yes, and you remember that first night I sung a song, too, and played the piano, just like...
All right, I'll pick up the accordion and join you, and here it is, Maple on the Hill, just like you did.
Near a quiet country village stood a maple on the hill.
And may I tell you something, without any kidding at all, I think you're the greatest country comic that ever lived.
No, you're wrong, Pee-wee. The greatest country comic that ever lived worked on this show right here with us. Will you all ever forget how he used to come up behind me, and he'd say, "Howdy, Minnie." And then he'd say, "By Ned, it's cold tonight, ain't it, buddy? It's below alt outside tonight, buddy." And then he'd say, "By Ned, it makes me so mad I could eat a banana or a goat burger." Oh, what a wonderful person. From the minute he walked on the stage, he had in his funny little old hat and his baggy suit, he held the audience in the palm of his hand. In a way, Rodley was, well, he was the very spirit of the Grand Ole Opry. And somewhere, Pee-wee, I know that Rod Brassfield is listening and chuckling a little and is here with us on this very show tonight.
Hey, Minnie, what you so happy about tonight?
Well, this morning, Pee-wee, I put a diamond engagement ring in Hezzy's can of Prince Albert smoking tobacco, just as a hint, kinda. And then I said, "Hezzy, honey, I put something special in your can of Prince Albert." And you know what that idiot said?
I can hear Hezzy right now. He said, "Minnie, nothing you can put in a can of Prince Albert will make it any more special or better than it already is. You see, PA's crimp cut, and it's always fresh, and a special process locks in the fine tobacco flavor. PA gives a man a cool, tasty, satisfying, comfortable smoke every time. And Macon men, they like PA too. It rolls easy and it stays put. Yep. For downright comfort and smoking pleasure, you don't need nothing extra but Prince Albert's smoking tobacco.
You forgot something.
Huh?
Then Heather stood up and sung.
It's a natural taste, and that's the test. The proof Prince Albert is naturally best. The smoke's so cool, more men say, give me mild and mellow PA.
Back in the earlier days of the Grand Ole Opry, it was a custom then, as it is now, to give our audience some fine quartet singing. Here with us tonight is one of those groups, still active, still singing, the Old Hickory Singers, with Waiting for the Robert E. Lee. Singers.
They were always great, just as they were tonight, Grant. Say, we've been hearing a lot of how the old Opry sounded. Tell me, what gives with the new Opry sound?
Pretty much the same, Pee-wee. The names of some of the performers are different, and like everything else, the tunes are a little more modern. Still country, though, and always will be. But rather than tell you about the new Opry, why not listen to it? Here, representing all the present-day stars of the Grand Ole Opry, is that great entertainer and Columbia recording star, Marty Robbins, and his latest hit, Ain't I the Lucky One?
Well, ain't I the lucky one? Look what I've gone and done. I let her steal my heart. I know we'll never part. She brings me joy, so much fun. Ain't I the lucky one? Well, ain't I doing fine? I'm gaining all the time. I like to hang around after the sun goes down. Well, she's so sweet, so much fun. Ain't I the lucky one? Well, ain't I the lucky one? Like a son of a gun,
son of a gun.
I got a perfect doll,
perfect doll.
She nearly drives me wild,
drives me wild.
Well, she's so sweet, so much fun. Ain't I the lucky one? Well, ain't I the lucky one?
Lucky one.
I feel like a son of a gun,
son of a gun.
I got a perfect doll,
perfect doll.
She nearly drives me wild,
drives me wild.
She's so sweet, so much fun. Ain't I the lucky one?
Lucky one.
Thank you so much, Marty Robbins. Thanks so much.
Well, thank you, Grant. It was my pleasure to be on this special broadcast and to sing and speak for all of the present-day Opry people.
Now, Pee-wee, I think time is running out, and I think it's only proper that you close the show with that great song you made so famous. And I want everybody on the stage, here in the auditorium audience, and all you listeners to join in and sing with us. It's Pee-wee King of the band, play and sing the Tennessee Waltz. Come on, everybody, sing.
Waltzing with my darling to the Tennessee Waltz, when an old friend I happened to see. I introduced him to my darling, and while they were dancing, my friend stole my sweetheart from me. I remember
broadcast of this portion of the Grand Ole Opry comes to a close. We were so glad you could join us. Next week, Farron Young will be your star with Lonzo and Oscar along as his guests. And now this is Grant Turner speaking for everyone and saying thanks, and we'll be seeing you next week at the Grand Ole Opry.
Won't be long now till 1958 steps aside to make room for 59. The turn of the year is kind of special this time for Camel Cigarettes. When 1958 ends, you see, it will mark the 10th straight year of Camel leadership as America's largest selling cigarette. Now, that's a pretty significant record. But even more significant are the reasons behind it. They are clear and compelling. The Camel blend of costly tobaccos has never been equaled. You get more rich tobacco flavor, more easygoing mildness in Camels than any other brand. It stands to reason. The best tobacco makes the best smoke. That's just as true today with so many different brands on the market as it always has been. And so more people smoke Camels than any other cigarette of any kind. You ought to try the smoke that's number one today in the USA. Have a real cigarette. Have a Camel. This portion is broadcast to our armed forces around the world by Armed Forces Radio Service and was brought to you by WSN, affiliated with the National Broadcasting Company. This is Monitor, the NBC Radio Service.